our human sense, the horizon is the limit of our material sight. And were we not to vision beyond the limit imposed by this mythical horizon, we would know no more and progress no further than the limits of our human vision. And how limited would be our present state of human experience. There is only one thing that hinders and binds the progress of our present-day living, and that is the limited thoughts and ideas of our so-called mortal mind. It is these limited thoughts and ideas about our present existence that prevent us from entering into the joy and freedom of heaven on earth. We never master these limiting thoughts and ideas by ignoring them or trying to escape the problems that confront our consciousness. Christian scientists are not escapists. The direct path to our goal of newness of life is a higher spiritual consciousness gained through prayer and spiritualization of thought. The active and progressive Christian scientist willingly and naturally leaves outgrown positions. He does not cling to landmarks of the past, but through prayer and growth, never through self-will, he launches out into the deep. If we are afraid of the seeming problems at hand, it is because we do not fully understand that, quote, evil is not, and good only is reality, close quote, as Mrs. Eddy states in Unity of Good. There is no vicarious unfoldment. It is our own righteous thought that brings newness of life. We may be quickened and guided by another's example, but we understand only that which unfolds spontaneously as our own active knowing. We find our dominion not in another's convictions, but in our own scientific unfoldments. Mrs. Eddy says in the textbook, quote, "Be thoroughly persuaded in your own mind concerning the truth which you think or speak, and you will be the victor," close quote. She also says, quote, "The human thought must free itself from self-imposed materiality and bondage," close quote. Quote, "Every day makes its demands upon us for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. These proofs consist solely in the destruction of sin, sickness, and death by the power of spirit. This is an element of progress, and progress is the law of God, whose law demands of us only what we can certainly fulfill." Close quote. Quote, "Progress is born of experience. It is the ripening of mortal man through which the mortal is dropped for the immortal." Close quote. Quote, "There should be painless progress attended by life and peace instead of discord and death." Close quote. Quote, "Progress takes off human shackles. The finite must yield to the infinite. Advancing to a higher plane of action, thought rises from the material sense to the spiritual, from the scholastic to the inspirational, and from the mortal to the immortal." Close quote. Quote, "Thus progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light. Close quote. In order to progress in our daily living, it is necessary that we vision realities as now being at hand. But how often, instead of seeing realities at hand, and as spiritual sense interprets them, and as they are in fact, we see these realities according to the educated beliefs of mortal mind? It is only as we vision our daily experiences above and beyond the horizon of a mythical mortal mind that we are enabled to live and act in the spiritual world of realities. That which is most vital to our human progress, most vital to our happiness, our home, our church, and our business, is an enlarged vision, a vision that is centered beyond the horizon of a mythical mortal mind into the realm of infinite reality. In our metaphysical work, we should heed the admonitions of Isaiah to the Gentiles. He says, quote, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." Close quote. We need an enlarged vision. Solomon, the wise man, knew the value of vision. He said, quote, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Close quote. Vision is not of the personal mind and does not deal with mythical material beliefs. Vision is a divine faculty which permits us to immediately experience a state of divine consciousness. Our work as Christian Scientists is to cultivate this divine faculty called vision or spiritual perception. It is through the understanding and practice of the truths of Christian Science that we gain the vision of infinite progression by which we show forth concrete being. Christian Science is not a philosophy of life, but the science of life. And if we wish our demonstrations to be definite and tangible, this science of life demands of us the same exact thinking that is demanded of us in the science of music or mathematics. The divine purpose of Christian Science is to enrich and enlarge our human experiences and make our daily living more universal and affluent. It was Jesus who, quote, "through the magnitude of his human life, demonstrated the divine life," close quote, demonstrated and verified all good to be at hand. We should do likewise, and we accomplish this through visioning infinite realities to be at hand. Christian Science is of practical value to us in that it reaches us where we are at the moment and in a way that our human thought can understand and verify to the world in visible, tangible forms. Christian Science is, quote, "word made flesh," close quote, or in other words is, quote, "infinite progression as concrete being," close quote. Christian Science is adequate to meet any mortal material sense of life that may appear to us as difficulties, injustices, or temptations. Visioning infinite realities at hand, we overcome these seeming trials, and prove Christian Science to be unalterable, changeless, spiritual facts. And in the words of the prophet Ezekiel, we can say, quote, "The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision," close quote. To prove that, quote, "infinite progression is concrete being," close quote, our leader tells us in miscellaneous writings that, quote, "we must give much time to self-examination and correction. We must control appetite, passion, pride, envy, evil speaking, resentment, and each one of the innumerable errors that worketh or maketh a lie. Then we can give to the world the benefit of all this, and heal and teach with increased confidence." Close quote. That is the end of part one of the address.